To the Lord in prayer. Father, you know, Father, how we need you. Yes. Lord, I feel so inadequate standing here. I always have, and I always will, Lord. And I'm glad about that because I don't want to feel that I'm able to do anything, Lord, but just get out of the way and say what your prophet said, Lord. May you bring the truth to us, Lord. May we take it, no matter how juvenile the devil tries to make it look, or I don't know what else he might do, Lord, but it's the truth because the prophet gave it to us. Yes. I know many times Brother Branham got accused of being juvenile in a backwoods and being somebody that didn't know his ABCs and all these other things. They had a reason not to believe it, except faith, Lord, which is what they needed, was what we all need, Lord. We pray you'll come and give us revelation tonight, Lord. Help us. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I don't have anything from Christ the Mystery of God Revealed in here tonight. I got to thinking about some of the things that we were saying and studying, and I ran across something in a message this week, Monday, and I've hardly, when I wasn't sleeping or working, left my study since then, and I'm not going to bring it all tonight. There's a whole lot of it. But after these two services, we'll try to get back into the Christ the Mystery of God reveal. We've jumped three times now, but we're going to fold it back and fold it back. So, and I don't go there looking for these. I don't. It doesn't. After he gives me a thought, then I'll think of other quotes and I'll go get those. But I don't go looking for the thought he gives me. And I sure didn't go looking for some of these quotes, which I'm not going to read those tonight, the ones that I ran across on Monday. But we'll get to them on Sunday. I wanted to background some and point out just a few things before we get to that. So tonight will probably be a fairly short service, but we'll just let the Lord decide about that. But I want us to think about what Brother Branham said that Adam and Eve rejected and that we accept, and how that when you've accepted the Spirit of God, the devil can't get in, period. We need to think about those things to realize what we have and where we're at. And so I got to looking at this about the seed after I saw those other quotes. And I wanted to point out a few things here. And when I started looking at it, I saw a few things that I had not knew was there. I had never looked at it that way. Now, we've talked about the seed the original seed, and we talked about the original word and the life tonight. We talked about that original spoken word seed and how God brought it all the way through, and that's and how that the whole book is the revelation of Jesus Christ, and the word is the seed. The seed is the word. And we've talked about all those things. But as far as how they're fulfilled and when they're fulfilled, we knew it was all by Jesus Christ. And sometimes when we read the message a certain way, it looks like it was fulfilled when it wasn't. So I want to start here, and it's going to look a little odd because we're going to start out on the seed, and we're going to go all the way through to Jesus, and then we're going to hop over to the opening of the book in our day, and then on over into the millennium and the new heavens and the new earth, because I want to show everything that the Lord's talking about. So, and I saw this quote today, and I thought it went perfect with this thought. It was on one of the forums. That's why he said to Adam, before sex was ever induced or introduced, multiply to replenish the earth. And he's talking to Adam, telling him to replenish the earth. When he was yet in the beginning, when he was both male and female himself. So Brother Branham is pointing that out, that fact that, and we talked about this the other day in the car, that the male and the female, brother, that Adam was both. And that's when God told him to multiply and replenish the earth, when they were both, when he was one, the both male and female in the one body. And Brother Branham says that shows us something. There shows then that the bride has got to come forth, come from the word by spiritual multiplication. He has that the bride itself has to come forth, come from the word by spiritual multiplication. Multiplications, see, replenishing the earth. So just hold that thought there. That's how that the bride has to come forth, by spiritual multiplication. And okay, so now we're in prior to transform. And every seed was perfect. The palms and the oaks and the grass and the birds and animals. And everything was perfect, was in perfect order with the commandment of God. So don't miss that. What God had said do, everything was doing that. Okay? And so what was the commandment that God had given? Now remember, we've talked about this before, that every commandment that God gives is also a promise. When he says, do this, that means that's what's going to happen. That's when he says do something, when he says this is a certain way, then that's God. That's his word. And so that has to happen that way. So it's a promise too. That's what I mean. So if it's a commandment, it's a promise also. So what was the commandment? He's talking about everything was in perfect order with the commandment of God. So what was the commandment? The commandment was, don't change your nature. Is that right? Is that what he told him? He said, every seed bring forth of its kind. So they were in perfect order with that. So let him go on and flesh out that commandment for us. What he was saying when he said, every seed bring forth of its kind. Oak, don't you never be perverted into a pawpaw tree. There's the commandment. He just magnified the commandment, didn't he? He gave it a time. He said, don't ever be this. You see what I'm saying? Everything was in perfect order. It was right with what the seed said. It was bringing. But the commandment was, don't ever pervert it. Palm, don't you be perverted into something else. But every seed after his kind. And he had watched it through the times. And he had spoke the word. And it was great. His great creating power had formed these seeds come up, and even the man and the woman. And they were the head because they were super to all the other races. And he put them also under a care of the same thing, that he put the trees and animals and so forth. His word. They must not never, by no means, break the word. That's the commandment, right? In order to fulfill that commandment, they have to never break the word. Until they have never broken the word, they have not fulfilled the commandment. Now, I'm not the judge of how long that was going to be, but God's the judge of whether or not they fulfilled that commandment or not. So let's see what the prophet said they did or they didn't. They must not never, by no means, break that word. They must stay there. There's the whole commandment. Not they must keep it for a while. They must stay there. That's when the commandment is fulfilled. That's when God's word is fulfilled. When the commandment is fulfilled. I know I'm kind of like spinning around in circles on that, but I don't want you to miss that thought, okay? Because we're going to build on that. Don't ever take anything from it or add anything to it. You must live by this word. That was the commandment, right? And it's not fulfilled until that is followed. Because that is the promise. Man will live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Is that what the promise was? And so that's what has to be fulfilled. All right. And this is in Power to Transform. Like Satan at the beginning, when he come into the Garden of Eden, he could not dig up those seeds. He could not destroy them. Your spoken word, original seed. He can't dig them up. He can't destroy them. But what can he do? He sprayed them with poison and it deformed the seed. And he's going to explain what he means by deforming the seed. It didn't bring forth its right kind. So the commandment was bring forth of its right kind. And it didn't bring forth of its right kind. Now, Chris has not said none of this. I've just read what Brother Ram said. It deformed the original seed. All right. The masterpiece. Now, we've talked about this, but I just wanted to bring it in because he references it. The Chinaman, he got him a bunch of cards with nothing on it at all. So when you come for your laundry, he'd take this card and tear it in a certain way and hand you one piece. And he kept the other piece. And now it's a little better than what we have now, because when you come back to claim your own, those two pieces must dovetail. You couldn't impersonate it if you had to. There's no way of doing it. You can make copies of letters, but you can't impersonate that tear. It's got to fit exactly with the other piece. Therefore, your dirty clothes that you brought in, you could redeem them by this ticket because it matched the ticket that was turned in. So what he's saying is you can come get your dirty clothes if you got a ticket that matches the other one. And when God, by the prophets and under the law, condemned us to sin, and the law has no grace, it only tells you you're a sinner. But when Jesus came on the scene, he was the fulfillment. He kept the law. He kept all the word. In fact, listen to what he says here. He was the fulfillment of everything God had promised. Right. Brother Graham said he fulfilled everything in the Old Testament. Everything. He was the fulfillment of it. He was the fulfillment of everything God had promised. Even the part where it says, every seed shall bring forth of his kind. We'll see if Brother Branham said that. It was all the promises. That was one of them. He was the perfect identical image of the promise. Therefore, all promises of the Old Testament was met in Jesus Christ. All the promises. The law was fulfilled, and everything he'd promised man was fulfilled here in him. It couldn't be met in Moses. It couldn't be met in any of the prophets, but it was met in the masterpiece. It matched all that it said it was going to be. See, they didn't back there. They didn't match everything it said it was going to be. Because the commandment said, don't ever do this. And it didn't match that. I know I've harped and harped on that. And I'm not trying to be mean and nasty about it. I just want to be clear about it. So will the church have to be matched to everything God has promised. Just like Jesus was the promise to everything that was wrote there, the church, the bride, is going to be a match to everything that's wrote of him, Brother Branham said. It must be the piece that's smitten off of it. So if the original is the word, so will the subjects that's been taken from it be the word. Spiritual multiplication. They're taken from it, see? Mm-hmm. To be the word to match its side. Therefore, the Chinaman, you would claim, where the law condemns you and said you were dirty and you were guilty and could put you in the prison. But when he came, he was the match piece for it. He was the match piece that you needed. Because you and nobody else had fulfilled the word. Because that was the match piece to get your right clothes back. And bring you back to be the complete ticket. The redemption that God had promised in the Garden of Eden. Now listen to this. This is redemption that he promised. When he told the woman this. Thy seed shall bruise the head, the serpent's head. But his heel shall bruise its head. His heel shall bruise its head. So Brother Branham said he was the fulfillment of that promise. Also, now we find that this perfect masterpiece that God had completed. Now, who is that seed? It's Jesus. And who are you a part of? Jesus. That seed shall bruise. And what did he just tell us? That just like Jesus was the fulfillment of all those promises, the bride will be the fulfillment of all those promises of the New Testament, of her. And so then he comes down and shows where the promise was. Thy seed shall bruise the serpent's head. So right then he was laying out the Old and New Testament, right then. But his heel shall bruise its head. Now we find this perfect masterpiece that God had completed. It was perfect because God completed it. Now we notice that he was all that was promised to be. He was all that was promised to be. Jesus was. He's all the promises, all of the prophecies, everything that God had made a promise of. And remember, we were in him. We were a part of that. That he was every promise made manifest. Thy seed shall bruise the serpent's head. Now he could not bruise it with the law. He couldn't bruise the serpent's head with the law. He could not bruise it with the prophets. But he did do it when the woman's seed became the masterpiece. Christ. Amen. See, they'd hybrid it back there. They'd hybrid man. And man could not do anything but breed hybrid man. Always. They'd done hybrid the line. It was going. Now that was the creation. He was the stone that Daniel saw hewed out of the mountain. Remember he said he was hewed out of the mountain without hands? Mm-hmm. He was the one without hands. Mm-hmm. See that? He was the one could smite. And remember, you're a part of him too. If he's hewed out of the stone without hands, you are hewed out of the stone without hands. You're part of him. Everything that he has, you have. He made us heir to God. He was the stone that Daniel saw hewed out of the mountain. He was the one could smite. He is the one that could bruise the serpent's head. Amen. So just to nail down what we said a while ago, just a little closer. Back in spoken word, the original seed. Every seed must come after its kind. That was the commandment, right? God made man in his image after his kind to be his word on earth. He expressed it in Jesus Christ. What was God was in Christ. That's a man after his kind. That, see there? That's the word being manifested. The promised. Every man shall bring forth, every seed bring forth of his kind. That's where it was manifested, right there. Not in the garden. What was? God was in Christ. That's a man after his kind. When God, which is the Word, how many knows he's the Word? When the Word is in Christ, a man, human man, expressing itself through him, that was God the Word in Christ expressing itself. It can't get much clearer than that. I mean, that nails it down. He told us what the commandment was, that it was not fulfilled, and we went through those. How many times have we went through those that it wasn't fulfilled? And then he says that there again and says how it was fulfilled. All of the promises were fulfilled in him. All right, so now we're making that jump now over to the seals. The seals were broke. Why? In the last church ages, to reveal these truths. Why? The Lamb broke the seals and revealed them to his church in order to collect his subjects for his kingdom. He revealed what had been hid since the foundation of the world in order to gather his subjects for his kingdom, his bride. Now, he's not gathering the ones. These seals were not opened to gather the ones that come in at the second resurrection. These were open to gather his bride. Only the ones that are going into the millennium. Oh my, he wants to bring his subjects to him now. What is it? Out of the dust of the earth, out of the bottom of the sea, out of the pits, out of everywhere and every place, out of the regions of the dark, out of paradise, wherever they may be, he will call and they'll answer. When he breaks those seals, then the call goes out after that. He will call and they'll answer. Amen. Amen. He will call and they'll answer. He come to get his subjects. He revealed his secrets and they saw it. He revealed his secrets and they saw it. And time is no more at that time. When he reveals his secrets and they see it, then time is no more at that time. He's called her to come to him. Time has run out. It's finished. All right? He leaves the throne of an intercessor as a slain lamb to be a lion king to bring the world to judgment who has rejected his message. He's not a mediator. Remember the Old Testament teaching now as we hurry. When the blood went off the mercy seat, what was it? Judgment seat. And when the Lamb slain walked forward from eternity out of the Father's throne and took his rights, it was a judgment seat. Now remember, Brother Brown said that when that message went forth in every age, who was that? That was Christ in the messenger, bringing the message for that age, and that when that message went forth, the ones that were on the book to receive it, received it. And the ones that weren't were judged. That was it. Mercy went off. when they didn't accept that. When he become not a lamb, but a king, a lion, a king. And he calls for his queen to come stand by his side. Now you are not the saint. Know you not the saints shall judge the earth? Daniel said the judgment was set and the books were opened. And tens of thousands times tens of thousands ministered to him, king and queen. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. That's for the church. So here he is, when he opened that book and called for us to come, then we come and we're the queen with the king. That's for the church. And the queen and the king stood there. All right. So now I want to point out some things about Adam and about the tree of life and about the garden and about the day in the end, in the new heavens and the new earth. Now, I pointed this out before the other day, and I stressed how that they, in that second resurrection, are not his brethren. And Katrina, she asked me, she said, I know you're stressing that. What does that mean? Why are you stressing it? And I thought, as much as we talked about it, that it would be evident, but I realized it's evident, and I should take time to go through it. And so there is a lot of importance there, because it means, when you look at it, Brother Branham said they go into eternal life. They have eternal life. And who and where does eternal life come from? God only. But they are not his brethren. They are not the wife of Christ. They don't dwell in the city. They don't sit on the throne. There's all these things that they that's not. They are not the elect, Brother Branham said. They're not the elect. Now you think about all these things. Now, I'm not interested in those that come in at the second resurrection. That's not what this is about. And I've tried to explain that. What I'm trying to do is show that all that was in Christ was not evident back there. And that he's been unfolding that all along. And that's what I'm bringing these for, is to try to show that. And so here he is. Patmos Vision, Church Age Book. Revelations 21:23. And the city that had no need, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God lightened it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So we are in the city, and we're constantly in that light. But the ones outside the city are not. It said the gates are not shut at night. And they come into the city, Brother Branham said, and they walk in the light. They walk into the light, but they don't dwell in the light. Now, I don't know what all these things mean, but it means something because the prophet pointed it out to us. And you know how many times in life God will show you one step, and you just got to take that one step. And if we're not willing to take that one step and then stand there and let him show us the next step, then we're not believing him. So that's what I'm doing. I'm taking a step, okay? I've been doing that for a while. I'm trusting him. This is the new Jerusalem. The Lamb will be in that city. And because of his presence, there will be no light needed. The sun won't rise and shine there, for he is the sun and light itself, himself. The nations that come in to it will walk in his light, but they don't dwell there in his light. They don't dwell in the city. Aren't you happy? That day is upon us. John saw that day coming. Aren't you happy that that day is upon us? He said. John saw that day coming. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. All right, let's see if he said anything else more about that. According to Romans 4:16, we find that God has given a sure promise to all of Abraham's seed. And Paul puts himself and all believers under that designation, because he says, Abraham, who is the father of all us all, then he goes on to not only narrow down the definition, but rather to finalize it in Galatians 3. He identified the seed singular as Jesus. So when God spoke back there in the garden, and he said, let every seed bring forth of its kind. This was the seed. When he said for man to not break his word ever, that was the seed. That was Jesus Christ, the word. I think y'all know that. But it had not come down and become a man yet. Finalize it, for in Galatians 3, they identified the seed, singular, with Jesus, and counted the seed children, remember, spiritual multiplication, as children of promise, and promise as having to do with election. And where were we elected? In Him. And what did He slip on us before the foundation of the world? The wedding band of the predestination of grace. The choosing of God. And that is exactly what we have been saying. These who are of the royal seed are the elect of God. The royal seed are of the elect of God, not the ones that come in at the second resurrection. These elect of God are predestinated and foreknown of God. And we're in the mind of God and His thoughts. Now, I'm not saying that those that come in the second resurrection weren't in Him. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying what Brother Ram said there, that they were not the royal seed or the elect of God. They were not that. Now, yet they have eternal life. Yet they go into eternal life. They're not His brethren. They're not His wife. Yet they go into eternal life. Who they are, I don't know. So we're not going down there. We now face the question as to why. Now this is, he's getting over that to this in, we went through this when we went through the book a little bit. We now face the question as to why they should be given eternal life at the judgment, since the epistles seem to conclusively point out that one must possess the Spirit of Christ or perish. Though it seems thus, we must not discredit the words of Jesus, who most pointedly sets forth that there are some found in the book of life who will either receive eternal life before the general resurrection or after it, but they don't die with it, as the bride is sealed into it. Paul does not evade this truth, for he most clearly says in Philippians 3:11, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Now we went through that, and he talks about how that's a peculiar statement. And we'll skip it on down. Paul could hardly say, if by any means I might attain to a resurrection of the dead. The truth of the matter is, he's not saying that. The literal reading is, if by any means I might attain to the out resurrection from among the dead. This is not the attaining to the general or the second resurrection, or attaining to the first, but attaining to the first resurrection. So Paul, he said, is backing up the words of Jesus, saying if there's those that come in at the second resurrection, and they receive eternal life. But attaining to the first resurrection, of which is said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. That's the bride, not the ones that come in at the second resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and Christ and shall reign with him. So we'll reign with him in his throne. We're going to be priests of God and of Christ. And they don't. Those that come into the second resurrection are none of those things. All that God poured into Christ, he poured into the bride. He did not pour it into those that come into the second resurrection. I want you to realize what God has done for us. That's what I want y'all to see, okay? I don't think we see how great it is sometimes. The first resurrection has nothing to do with the second death. That is at the end of the 1,000 years when all the rest of the dead live again. And in that day, there will be those who come forth to eternal life and those who are caught in the second death. So there's coming into the second resurrection those who come forth to eternal life, but they are not his brethren. They're not his bride. They're not in the city. They don't sit on the throne. And I'm making a list because there's more, okay? I just don't want you to forget all that's on the list. Will be those who come forth to eternal life and those others who are caught in the second death. Now, we do not need to guess about those who in the second resurrection are given life. We are told it is given to them on the grounds that they have been kind and good to the brethren. Not that there are the brethren. They were kind and good to the brethren. Those who are raised and cast into the lake of fire will be so treated because of their mistreatment of the brethren. Now listen to how he explains this. Since this is the word of God, we simply accept it. There's no argument here, just a simple statement of fact. To further clarify, notice specifically the words of Matthew in 25:31-46. It does not say that a shepherd is literally separating sheep from goats. Now listen to this too. But it is as a shepherd dividing sheep from goats. These are not sheep in this particular area of time. The sheep are in his fold. They heard his voice, word, and they followed him. They already have eternal life and cannot come into the judgment. They're already in Christ. They're sinless. God had to reveal that we were in him. So many types in the Bible where he said he couldn't do anything to Sarah, because she was a part of Abraham. Mm-hmm. And what was in Abraham? The faith seed was in Abraham that represented Christ. She's a part of Christ. He couldn't do anything to her. They heard his voice, word, and they followed him. They already have eternal life and cannot come into judgment. But these do not have eternal life, and they are in the judgment. They are allowed to go into eternal life. They're not his bride. But upon that, what grounds do they enter into life eternal? Certainly not upon the fact that they already have his life, as does the bride. The bride already has his life. She's sinless. But they receive it because they were kind to his brethren. And the brethren are a part of the bride, the manifested word. They are not his brethren. They have his life, but they're not his brethren. That would make them joint heirs with Jesus. They're not heirs. We're joint heirs, yes, with Jesus. They are not joint heirs with Jesus. Because everything that Jesus is heir to, we are too. Because he's heir to everything that God put in his hands. And God, everything that God was, he poured into Jesus. And everything that Jesus was, he poured into his bride. But they're not poured into the ones outside the city. Don't miss that. They're not his brethren. Now, I'm not trying to make them bad people. I'm just trying to make it so clear. They are not his brethren. That would make them joint heirs with Jesus. They're not heirs to anything but life. They share no throne, etc., with him. Their names must have been in the book of life and not removed. Now, because of their love of the people of God, they're recognized and saved. No doubt, these served and helped the children of God, perhaps like Nicodemus and Gamaliel. They stood for the children in a time of trouble. Now, like I said, I'm not trying to figure out who those are. I'm just pointing out the differences, okay? If this seems to smack of restoration, watch carefully now, for the wicked are not restored, but turned into the lake of fire. The names of many of these, of those destroyed, were in the book of life also, but they were blotted out because they failed to honor the people of God, who were the living manifested word. They didn't honor the living manifested word. Living epistles for their day. All right. So let's take this and go a little bit further. This is in questions and answers. Brother Branham is asked about, let's see. He's asked about this birth of these children, the angel, but he's also asked about those outside the city. So let's go down here. I hate to pass these by. They're good questions, and I want my children to know these things, see? Now, who will populate the earth outside of the city? Outside. It will be the redeemed that will populate the earth outside the city. So he calls them redeemed, but not elect. But they will not be the elected and called of bride. The bride will live inside the kingdom with the king. They won't live inside the kingdom with the king. On the outside will be the kings of the earth. Now, I know that means something spiritual. That does not mean, I don't believe it means that it will be sitting in a body and Jesus will be sitting right there and will stay inside this city all day long. I don't think that's what that means. It's what it says, and I believe it. But we know that so many of these things are spiritual. The bride will live inside the kingdom with the king. On the outside will be the kings of the earth that labor and bring their fruits into the city. The doors will not be closed by night. Now, this light on top of the mountain will not lighten the whole world. It'll only lighten the city. And that's where we're at. All the time. We're always in his presence. And what did we read this last service? That we're given that privilege of being in his presence all the time, and we never have to leave it. Brother, sister, you know when you're born again how much contrast it is from this world to when you're born again, how great that is. But you think about this, and they don't have that. They're outside the city. They walk into the light, but they're not in it. Now, this light on top of the mountain will not lighten the whole world. It'll only lighten the city. But it can be seen in the distance of thousands of miles, maybe. But it won't lighten the earth, because the Bible said in the new world that from one Sabbath to another and from one new moon to another, you see, will be the people come up before the Lord unto Zion, up to the city to worship. They come into the city where the bride and the bridegroom are to worship. That's where he said they don't dwell there. And now they will be outside the city, not the bride, but the people that come up in the second resurrection, that will be tillers of the soil, just like Adam was. And so, and carers of the garden, those outside the city will be just like Adam was. I'll just leave that alone. Will be tillers of the soil, just like Adam was, and so forth, and carers of the garden. But the king and the queen will remain in the city. Let's keep going here. The future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. O holy mountain, there will be streets of transparent gold, avenues and houses and parks. And if you want to read this, Revelation 21:18, the tree of life will be there. 12 different manners of fruit. One each month will be bore on it. And the people will eat these fruits. And they'll change their diet every month. And it's from for only the overcomers. Who's the overcomers? Christ. So those inside the city eating that fruit of the tree is only for the overcomers. And we all overcome by Him. Amen. Do you know that? It isn't for the denominations. You say, you mean that, Brother Branham? Let's turn to Revelations 2 just a minute and find out. Revelation 2:7. Let's find out now whether it's really the truth or not. Now, he thought it was important enough to point this out for some reason. That they're in there, that we're in the city eating the tree, but they're not. The ones outside the city. Because it's only for the overcomers. Because he only promised to eat of the tree of life to the overcomers. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit. Now remember, he's not talking to the Jews now. This is the church, the Gentile. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And how did he say that they had overcome? They had heard his word and followed it. Because God had put it in them and brought it to bear. And that's the bride. They're the ones partaking of that tree of life. Overcomers only. That overcome the beast, overcome his mark, the Catholicism, Protestantism, denominationalism. Who overcome it, the beast, his mark, the letter of his name. He'll have a right to the tree of life, to enter into the gates where nothing that defiles can ever go in. See, think of it. Now, just a minute now, as we go just a little further, tree of life will be for the overcomers only. The leaves will be for the healing of the nations. Did you catch that? The tree of life is only for the overcomers, but the nations are the ones outside the city. And the leaves will be for the healing of the nations. Then listen to what he says. A while ago, we just talked about the kings coming in. That is the kings that live in there, bring their honor in. When they bring their honor in and lay it before the throne of God. And who's around the throne of God? The bride. Just like the outside, the 11 tribes brought in, every one of them, a tenth to Levi, see? And when they bring their honor in from the blessed land, in that they'll reach from the tree of life and break off a holly leaf. Not the fruit, a holly leaf. Break off a holly leaf or a tree of life leaf. He's pointing it out. Leaf, 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 several times now. And they'll walk out together. There is no more war. Everything is at peace. And the leaves are a memorial for the healings of the nation. Those leaves that they pull off the tree of life are a memorial for the healings of the nation. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean that they're a memorial for the healings of the nation? Well, let's see what Brother Branham says. The same tree, not like Adam, comma, he, dot, dot, dot. There was a tree of life in the Garden of Eden that he might have eaten from if he hadn't failed. That tree of life reminded him. Now listen to what's going on though. The tree of life reminded him all the time that his youth was continually going on. See, same will the nations. That's where Adam was. Same will the nations. But see, there in the garden, Adam was going to partake of that tree because he was the seed of God. And God was going to bring it to pass because God is the only one that interprets his word. That his youth was continually going on, see. Same will the nations. The leaves will be for the healing of the nations, notice, not the sickness now. Now, the healing of the nations, we know he just called that. They had their heir to life, and that's it. Eternal life, and that's all. None of these other things. They don't need the tree. That's to the church, to the overcomers, not to the ones outside the city. The tree of life reminded him all the time that his youth was continually going on. See, same will the nations. The leaves will be for the healing of the nations. Notice not the sickness now. You'd have the same rights that Adam did. Like the dove with the holly leaf, each king taking a leaf. So, I'm going to stop right there because I just wanted to put that out, and I want you to go home, study on it, and pray on it, and pray on it with me, because I do not want to inject Chris in here anywhere. So I've just read these things and pointed them out. Brother Branham said that the nations, what they would have, and you'd have the same rights that Adam did. He's pointing at the nations. You'd have the same rights that Adam did. So that wasn't me. I didn't say it. And I never would have thought of that in a million years. Now, long, long time ago, when I was reading in the Church Ages, the other quote we just read. I was reading that, and I was like, I went and asked Brother Holmes about it. I said, Brother, what is this? I said, they're only heir to life. I said, what else is there besides God's life? I said, why is he saying only life? And I had no idea all this was there. I had no idea. It had never dawned on me, being young and not knowing anything, that I didn't realize, it had not occurred to me, that all that he had a right to, Jesus had a right to, I have a right to as joint heirs. But not those outside the city. See how much greater that is? How much greater than that is just eternal life? I mean, there's no reason to, I'm not putting that down. I've never put nothing like that down. But I'm talking about where Jesus Christ was God, made manifest. Yes. And we're part of that, brother. We're going to need these things in the hour that we're standing in. We can't just keep pushing them on the rug and explaining them away. God give us these things for a reason. We need to know them. Amen. And all right, I read it all. So I know people are going to think that's juvenile. But if they do, they'll think the prophet's juvenile because he said it, not me. But the quote I seen Tuesday, And I'd seen more in Christ the Mystery of God Revealed and other messages where he talks about them having eternal life and things like that. I never doubt that. He said they had eternal life. They had it. If he says it, they had it. I don't try to explain it. But I wondered how they could have eternal life and yet turn God down. When Brother Branham said that if you've been impregnated with the Spirit of God, you cannot commit adultery, which they done. They rejected it and walked away. Brother Ram said they turned it down. And Brother Ram said, you can't do that when you're born of God. We read it in multiple places. And so that got me, how can that be? You know, and plenty of people have made the argument that they had eternal life back there and that's God's life, and so they had to be one with him. And right here we can read that outside the city they got his life and they're not one with him. One with him means something more great. Doesn't mean they're out of line. Doesn't mean they're not following what God said to do all the time. But one is a bride and a bridegroom. He's pulled up to him and made close to him. A oneness like that. And so that's much more. We're beginning to find out how much more that is. But everything Brother Branham said was vitamins for that body yonder. So y'all pray for me. And I'm going to bring those other quotes. Because like I said, we got to look straight in the eye of everything that Brother Branham said. If you can't look straight in the eye of what Brother Branham said and know what's going on and why he said it and things like that, then we have to just be quiet. But he'll make it known. He gave us this word, this message, for a reason. Just like he spoke those words back there and said, let every seed bring forth of its kind. That man and woman had to bring forth that seed. And when they didn't, God's going to still make it happen. He's still going to make it happen. And so I'm so glad I was in that and that he's made it manifest. Amen. Let's stand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you know that I tried to get out of preaching this. I tried to go two or three times around it and put it off and everything else, Lord, but you said it, and I'm going to stand on it, Lord, because it's your word and your truth, and you promised that you would bring it to pass, Lord, and when you bring it to pass, that's the interpretation. But if we're not willing to stand on it, Lord, you've got no obligation to interpret it. Lord, you put it in your children, wherever they are in this world, Lord, to stand on that truth. And you put it in them to know that these words give to us by the prophet, Lord, are that truth. And we're so thankful, Father, so thankful that you put it in our hearts like that. Lord, we're so cannot thank you enough. And we praise your name, Lord. Praise your holy name. And we pray that you'll go with us this week. Be with us, Lord. And whatever we have to undertake, be with us in the study. Help us for Sunday. Lord, we just want to get out of the way that you might be manifested. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. I thought of one and then it went out of my head that quick. He's alive. Alive. Live forevermore. I'm not sure if that's just a chorus or if that's got some verses. Let's just sing the chorus. He's alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. Alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Alive forevermore. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive. Amen. I was thinking about all this today, and I kept thinking about Ruth and Boaz, and I kept thinking about how that, you know, when man done that, that man was hybrid, and how could it change unless God come and bring a man that wasn't hybrid? Mm-hmm. So, and I thought about Boaz. The types are so beautiful. You know, if you think about it, God done all these things thousands of years apart, and prophecies thousands of years apart from all those, and they all just work so beautiful. And the prophets saw those types in there. You know, I was thinking about that too. God done all those things, brought all things to pass, and made the man and brought him here, and he could see those types and bring them where no one else could see those types. He was the one that God had put here. Aren't you so glad that you could see who that was? That you could see past the man and see that not a man could do that. That was God. Amen. And we'll go now. We'll be dismissed. We'll see y'all next time.